Ďalší náš host je Martin Minárik. Martin Minárik je expert z organizácie Energy Charter Brusel. Týmto ho pozývam k nám, k rečníckému pultu. Možno by som ešte k tomu povedal, že s Energy Charterom tiež spolupracujeme už druhý rok v rámci týchto tém ochrany energetickej infraštruktúry a jeho príspevok bude zameraný tiež na súčasnú situáciu, ktorá vznikla medzi Ruskou federáciou a Ukrajinou. Takže ešte raz vítam vás a dávam vám slovo.
Ďakujem veľmi pekne. Dobrý deň, vážené dámy, vážení páni. Ďakujem veľmi pekne za privítanie aj za pozvanie zúčastniť sa tejto konferencie. Ako ste spomínali, spolupracujeme s vami už nielen prvý rok, a teda dlhodobejšie. Tým, že v zásade zastupujem organizáciu medzinárodnú, ktorá má sídlo v Bruseli, energetickú chartu, tak aj prezentáciu som si pripravil v angličtine, verím, že to bude v poriadku. A tým pádom vlastne by som prešiel priamo do angličtiny. Dear ladies and gentlemen, thank you again, this time in English. Thank you very much for having me. Thank you, organizers, for organizing this Energy Congress, this year Energy Club. And today I would like to talk to you about the protection of critical energy infrastructure, and mainly in terms of what the Energy Charter Secretariat in Brussels does in this area. My presentation will consist of several topics. First of all, I would like to introduce the organization itself. It's an international organization, maybe not so well known. That's why I want to introduce a little bit who we are and what we do. Second, as our host introduced, I would like to talk about the Energy Security Contact Group, which was established in relation to issues and situation in Ukraine and between Russia. On top of that, I would like to talk about a little bit on early warning mechanism, and I will conclude my presentation with an outline of some activities this year that we would like to conduct on the protection of critical energy infrastructure. So who we are, the Energy Charter Secretariat has its seat in Brussels. It's an intergovernmental organization that was established by Energy Charter Treaty, which was signed in 1994. In 1998, it was ratified by a sufficient number of member states and thus entered into force. The basic motto of our organization, as you can see on the bottom, is common rules for global energy security. And that is the outline of everything we do. As said before, it's an intergovernmental treaty that promotes the principles of the Energy Charter as a political declaration, which was the first step in 1991 in order to establish this organization that was negotiated in 3 years and therefore signed in 1994. We have five elements of the treaty, and then that is to improve energy security, implement energy efficiency, enhance safety and minimize environmental problems, develop more efficient energy markets, and create climate favorable both for investors and states in terms of investment protection and promotion. Two legally binding instruments that are basis of the Energy Charter are the Energy Charter Treaty and additional protocol on energy efficiency. These are the two backbones of what we do and to which the member states are bound. Today we have more than 50 members. I think currently it's 54, including the EU and Euratom. It's an organization open to any exporting, transit and importing country. The basic principles are that every country has national sovereignty over its energy resources. Investment protection is based on non-discrimination and also on WTO-based trade provisions, including freedom of transit. There's also a mechanism for dispute settlement, which is investor to state or state to state. And also, as said, protocol on energy efficiency and related environmental aspects governs this area. On top of that, we also provide model agreements facilitating construction of cross-border infrastructure, mainly in gas and oil. So as a way of a little bit of introduction into the topic of what the Energy Charter does in terms of in terms of the Ukrainian crisis. The situation was dire and needed some kind of a response, and it also needed a closer cooperation and information sharing. With that being said, early in March, the Energy Charter Secretariat, under the auspices of our Secretary General, who is a Slovak diplomat, by the way, Mr. Urban Rusnak, established Energy Security Council Group, which brought together Ukraine, Russia, Kazakhstan as the chairmanship that holds the chairmanship of the Energy Charter Conference this year, and the European Union. These four parties met and established this Energy Security Council Group in order to provide for energy security, i.e. uninterrupted energy flows. On top of that, as a second element, the Trade and Transit Group, which is one of the working and standing groups of the Energy Charter, exchange proposals on institutionalization of early warning mechanism. Just to make it a bit clear, it's similar to what the EU established after 2009 with Russia. So the Energy Security Council Group itself, it's at the center of the early warning mechanism. It brings together the concerned parties, as I mentioned, four of them and the Secretariat. And the basic elements are that it establishes information and data sharing in order to increase transparency and provide for energy security and non-interruption of gas flows from Russia through Ukraine to the European Union. We held four meetings up until now, as far as I know. The objective was, as I said, to exchange views and try to prevent any disruptions to energy flows, and also possible implication within the constituency of the Energy Charter. During these meetings, both Russia and Ukraine repeatedly stated that no imminent threat to energy security related to natural gas transit arose from the current situation, and they both saw the contact group as a neutral platform for the exchange of information on issues of energy security. The contact group is still ongoing. The latest information was that we try to get these countries to provide information, especially monitoring on the flows that enter Ukraine from Russia and that also exit Ukraine on the exit point with the EU. So far, the talks are still ongoing, and we've yet to see where we could go. Early warning mechanism is a bit of a broader concept that enhances the Energy Security Council Group that was established as a primary response and very emergency response to what was going on. Early warning mechanism is already an activity that was already discussed before. It's in the program of work of the Secretariat. The context is that in the 1991 European Energy Charter, the signatories were already desirous of improving security of energy supply. In the 1994 Energy Charter Treaty, they already bound to legal instruments on how to propose this and how to enhance it and achieve it. In 2009 Rome Statement, they also established that they want to resolve any controversies in case of emergencies. And in the 2010 Modernization Roadmap, a contribution by the Energy Charter Conference in promoting the implementation of the ECT, which is the treaty, the early warning mechanism was already put into program of work. What are the underlying principles of early warning mechanism? The underlying and in the middle one is, as you can see, voluntary acceptance by the parties. This is something which they all have to agree to, and there's no legal instrument on how to make them and force them to do it. It's a tool for preventive diplomacy mechanism, with that being said, also for confidence building between the parties, and as a last resort, some kind of emergency measures. So how does it work? As already mentioned, at the center is the Energy Security Council Group, which brings together the parties concerned. This group establishes information relevant to actual threat to energy security, and aims at elaborating common evaluation of the situation and recommendations on how to address it. And as a last resort, if the situation is dire and getting more dire, the contact group can set up a monitoring group, which actually goes on the ground Just to put this in the perspective, the mechanism would be complementary to memorandum on mechanism for preventing and overcoming emergency situations in the energy sector within the framework of the EU-Russia energy dialogue, as well as the terms of reference for the monitoring of transit of natural gas, through Ukraine, signed by the representative of the European Commission, Russian government, Ukraine government, and other parties. So, just to sum it up for you, this is a new activity. We've only started the talks in our working groups in March 2014 this year, and at the end of this month we will continue, hopefully establishing some basic framework on how to continue with this activity. And lastly, as my last point of this presentation, I would like to link my presentation to presentation of Ms. Algayerova. As she mentions, the OSCE is currently working on the protection of energy infrastructure. She mentioned the workshop on 2nd of July and development of a handbook, and also an event held in October this year in cooperation with our organization. This cooperation, I would just like to put it under one umbrella. It's a trilateral cooperation with OSCE and Slovak government, and it has three stages. As mentioned, the first one is an OSCE workshop on protection of critical energy infrastructure, which serves as a kickoff event that will bring together experts and interested parties that will present on how they want to approach the joint handbook on protection of critical infrastructures. Their presentations during the workshop will then be more enhanced and elaborated in the handbook itself, which will be developed jointly by all three parties, and we will present the final handbook and recommendations at our Energy Charter Forum in Bratislava in October. Thank you very much for your attention. If you have any questions, I'm available to answer them. Thank you.
Ďakujem za príspevok. Ak sú nejaké otázky, prosím publikum, ak nie sú, ďakujem veľmi pekne.